Welcome to this edition of Community Tides. I'm Chris Bricker, and on alternate Fridays during the noon hour, I join my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, to explore new developments and new paradigms as our vibrant county of creative and innovative citizens continue to do good work. Well, looking forward to having Siobhan not only as a co-host today, but also as a guest of sorts. Welcome, Siobhan.
Thank you, Chris.
The reason that I'm considering her a guest today is that she's president and CEO of the Jefferson Community Foundation and sort of involved with all of the nonprofit entities that surround us here in Jefferson County. Let's talk about the whole reciprocity that happens between our radio station, our community radio station, and you and the nonprofits. Let's talk about charitable giving, because that's coming up. We have a one-day fund drive coming up on Giving Tuesday on the 29th. What should people consider when they decide to give to a nonprofit?
Well, first, thank you for having me on as a guest today. It's exciting to be on the other side of the microphone. And I'm so thrilled to be here to talk about year-end giving, because it is the season. 80% of all charitable gifts are made in the last 8 weeks of the year. So there are a lot of people thinking about this right now. And I just wanted to share some things that folks might think about as you make your decisions for where you want to have the greatest impact in our local community. So first of all, think about the things, obviously, that you care about, the issues, the locations, the communities, and the organizations that serve those. Three top issues that I would suggest folks think about in Jefferson County specifically are affordable housing, low-income housing, childcare, and youth opportunity. You know, our working families are really struggling to stay here, Chris, as prices go up, not only house prices, but also inflation. You know, that's an automatic 9% increase on average in the cost of just everyday things you need, groceries. We've all seen it. And the organizations that are serving these folks are trying to meet that gap. And so really thinking about how our community is getting food and financial assistance, educational support, and youth opportunity and childcare, I think are all areas where we want to make sure that safety net is really strong. And I know later in the show we're going to be talking about United Good Neighbors, but there are so many organizations locally that could use everyone's help at this time, when they're struggling with such high costs.
Getting the drumbeat out is really important. And we're really happy here at KPTZ to be instrumental in being able to do that, because our community of listeners is growing exponentially, which is a wonderful thing.
I love KPTZ and your support of nonprofits, because studies have shown that community radio plays a critical role in terms of keeping the community informed and engaged in building a healthy democracy. And so I can't overstate enough how important free community radio is to this county and to everyone who lives in it.
We all know that for many, many reasons, the rental prices alone are going up. At least right now, sort of the housing market has flattened somewhat, but rentals are going up. And I think it's really important for us to consider as citizens of Jefferson County.
I want to be careful today to not kind of promote one organization over another, but I also want to offer some examples. You know, so there are organizations like St. Vincent de Paul who literally can be on standby to provide financial assistance to working families. OLECAP does a great job in that regard also. And then housing organizations, Bayside, you know, OLECAP also does a lot of housing and the community build. There are just so many wonderful things happening in our community now, particularly around housing, that we want folks generally to know your money is going to good use here if you're investing in housing, and your gifts are very welcome in that regard.
What are some of the other salient issues that are happening here in the county that need to be addressed, especially through some of the organizations of people doing good work?
Yeah, well, I did mention briefly childcare, and I would say that we only have 1/3 of the childcare slots in our community that we need. And this puts working families obviously in a difficult position, and particularly working women. So the Y does a great job on childcare, and there's a childcare network that's been forming with stakeholders, including government representatives, the hospital, and the Y, and the schools, who are all working to increase childcare in our community. So those are all great places to support as well.
So when people are looking at a nonprofit's financials, what should they be looking for? How can they feel confident about who they're giving to?
That's a great question. So you can go onto a website called Nonprofit Explorer. It's hosted by ProPublica, and you can find the tax forms for all of the nonprofits you're thinking of supporting. So if you want to get a sense of their financial health, you can look at what's called their 990s. That's the tax form. Now, a couple of things. One is, what that will tell you is, just by looking, are they in a sustainable position? And that's really important. Secondly, you know, there's this kind of myth that you don't want to pay for overhead in nonprofits. And I just want to put that to bed, because nonprofits need good people. And right now we're competing for a very small workforce. So in fact, overhead is necessary, and you just want to make sure that it's at a rate that matches what that organization is doing. So for example, a food bank can take a lot of people to help run, including staff, whereas a call-in center needs less staff. However, both need general operating support. And that takes me to my final point, which is really general operating support is very needed, very necessary, and really gives these talented nonprofit leaders the most flexibility to do with your funding what they want to do. The nonprofits are the experts. We do want to make sure that if you're funding a nonprofit locally, that money is going to provide local services, I would say. If there's an organization that's working regionally or even nationally, they should be getting funding regionally and nationally as well. But making sure that your dollars are supporting local services, that's the way to go.
Siobhan, if you're in a grocery store line, does that have an effect if they ask you to make a donation at something?
I love that question. I am not a fan of the grocery store donations. I appreciate that the companies are trying to do something good. But I'll tell you, Chris, I've actually looked at the 990s for those foundations, and I couldn't find a grant that had been made by either Kroger or Albertsons, the owners of both Safeway and QFC, that had been made in Jefferson County. And that's not to say that they maybe have once before and I didn't find it, but if you really want to have a local impact, that is not the place to give your money.
And I got one last question for you. What does a person need to be able to give, to start making charitable contributions?
A big heart. Every dollar counts. And particularly with campaigns like the Give Jefferson campaign, where everyone's contributing to a central pool of funding, literally every dollar counts.
Well, speaking of good hearts, Kathy Ryan is not shy about helping to grow food, nor is she shy about talking about the bounty that the food bank Farm Gardens produce. And here to tell us all about it is Kathy Ryan, up close and personal, to tell us about the food bank growers and the gleaners. Kathy, welcome to Community Tides.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Well, tell us about the food bank gardens. I know from reading about it that the amount of yield from these gardens are just incredible. So tell us about the yield. Tell us about how that happens, about the volunteers and so on. And then also how it gets distributed, where it gets distributed to.
In 2012, there was a study out of WSU that identified three critical needs in the food sector. One was the need for fresh, local, organic produce to keep people who access food banks healthy. And we're seeing that a lot of that now with the headlines like food is medicine. So we started with one garden in Port Townsend, growing about 100 pounds. We are now 12 gardens as of our last business meeting, growing 18,000 pounds last year. And we have merged also with the Quimper First Harvest, or the Gleaners, which also brought in about 18,000 pounds of fresh fruit and produce. And that gets distributed now beyond what we did in the food banks, because we have four food banks delivering or distributing one day a week, with the exception of Port Townsend, which has a senior distribution as well. So there are other folks that we are now working with, like a recovery cafe. We have one garden on Finn River property through, you know, generosity of folks there that produced 12,000 pounds last year with four farmers. And they, not to overload the food bank in high season, developed additional partnerships with JCARF. So they have CSAs now going to JCARF families, and also a partnership with Jefferson Healthcare, which provides CSAs at no charge to oncology patients through the oncology department.
I'm sorry, I just That's wanted to, huge. For our listeners, just make sure they know that JCARF is the Jefferson County Anti-Racist Fund.
Thank you so much, Siobhan.
Oh,
I
appreciate
that. Of
course, of course. And I just wanted to ask, your program is a great example of the kind of programs that United Good Neighbors and the Give Jefferson campaign support. And it so provides such direct benefit by providing food to local families. Can you tell us a little bit about how your program is funded and the role that the Give Jefferson campaign plays in that?
We have a pretty lean operation. With gardens, pretty much we do what gardeners everywhere do, which is to swap and share as much as possible. But you mentioned earlier that small organizations also need operating support. And Give Jefferson has been extremely helpful in terms of helping us get the word out, so that last year, through a collaborative grant with WSU Extension, Clallam County's SNAP program, they worked with us to write funding for our first garden coordinator, which is extremely helpful because our gardens now extend into the county. So that was important. We also were able to provide stipends to those four young farmers who grew that tremendous amount of produce at Goosefoot Food Bank Garden last year. But that funding all sunsets in June. And so to continue that and build up support, both of those efforts going forward, is extremely important. We've also been monitoring drought and climate changes. And so this year we're looking at focusing on water security, things we already do, cover cropping to reduce waste, the use of OYAs, water sequestration, improved irrigation. All of these things have annual costs, and the annual campaign will help us very much to meet that. I think fencing is probably one of the things that is the most critical in having productive gardens in this part of the world, with deer fencing is critical.
I would imagine greenhouses are important as well, to be able to make sure that you have a...
I'm glad you mentioned that, Chris. We're doing our first year where we're also focusing on winter growing. We've had one garden at the Quimper Grange that's been growing through the winter. But last year, the combination of COVID and supply line disruption and crop failures after the onions boiling in the fields with the heat dome meant that we had very little on hand in January and February at the Port Townsend Food Bank, where I volunteer. And this year, we're trying to grow that out, and we're using all of our greenhouses, and we're looking for more support. We're looking for people to help in them. This garden coordinator would help with getting that effort growing, the harvesting, the volunteer coordination. Yes, there's a definite link there.
Does it take more than just somebody with a green thumb in order to make this stuff happen?
It absolutely does. It takes somebody with the people skills, because our gardens are essentially community gardens growing for people who have food security needs. And gardeners are all types of folks. So we particularly need somebody with good people skills and good detail skills, so that if one garden has something and somebody else needs something, they're able to match those things up, and also get the reporting done, so that when we do have programs like this, where we're working with something like Give Jefferson, we have the metrics to be able to tell people how many people we're serving and how many gardens we have and what the weight is, which are the questions that I get the most frequently.
So when people are giving through Give Jefferson, you're really supporting not only the organization, but the volunteers, the many volunteers that are engaging. Because I think Food Bank Growers is a great example of the more than 30 organizations who all engage community to provide these critical basic human needs. I do want to point that out, that the UGN Give Jefferson campaign is only organizations that provide direct human basic needs services. So as soon as you make a donation, it goes to supporting local families in some way. So you can go to givejefferson.org to support that effort. And I also wanted to just go back to the JCARF, the Jefferson County Anti-Racist Fund, and tell people another point about your annual giving is a number of people, and particularly people working on social justice issues in our community and around the country, choose not to do that work through nonprofits for various reasons. So I want to encourage people to better understand also mutual aid programs like Jefferson County Anti-Racist Fund. You know, the threshold for getting a charitable deduction is so high now, it's almost $25,000 for a couple before you can even take a charitable deduction. So if you are giving and you're not giving at a level of $25,000 or more, or even if you are, consider not only your local nonprofits, but also your local networks that are working through mutual aid to achieve social justice in our community.
That's an important thing to remember. And Kathy, we've got about a minute left. Can you give us some final thoughts?
One of the important things about Give Jefferson is that it puts those of us who are nonprofits in touch with each other. So we're working with the housing network now for a community garden that's looking to build a garden piece and into housing. We're working with the Bayside Housing through the old alcohol plant to grow out the freeze drying program, which this year going forward will have partners. It looks like the Recovery Cafe and the schools. So we'll be looking to grow those programs out. But the piece that Give Jefferson provides in pulling all of us together helps those of us who are nonprofits as well work more closely with each other and more efficiently. So whatever donation is given to one of us absolutely benefits all of us.
Kathy Ryan, talking about the bounty of the Food Bank Farm Gardens produce and gleaners. Thank you so much for joining us here on Community Tides. And Siobhan Canty, a dual role as co-host and guest on Community Tides. Thanks, Siobhan.
Thanks, Chris. It's fun to be your guest.
We'll see you next time on Community Tides.